Okay, here we are. Today is our last class.
I know.
Last class. Thank you so much for being here today. I mean, I know sometimes the hard part is finishing well. So the fact that you're here today, I hope there's an encouragement. We can finish well. And that's basically what we're going to be talking about today. So how many of you guys went to that parenting conference yesterday? Most of you? Okay. Yeah, so... You know, for me, it was just really crazy busy because I did a workshop, and but at the same time, it's one of those things when you feel like you're in your element, because this parenting and marriage and family, these are the things that are my heart's passion. So that it just I just felt like oh, it was hard work. I was like dead tired in the day, but that it was something. I just knew it was something that was really. Where God wanted me to be. So I don't know. That's for me, that's the best kind of living there is. And so I have extras from my talk. I don't know how many. I don't know if it's enough for everybody. But if you want to, they're at the far end there. I also have extra handouts from that I had left over, during the semester. So if you want to grab them, feel free because they're going to go in the trash afterwards. So feel free to help yourself. So I also am putting I have the link to my talk from yesterday on the end of your handout there somewhere. The school is always in session. I put the link there so you can listen to it yourself if you want to follow along with the handouts or whatever. I got lots of stuff in there. So that's something that we do as a family, and so I wanted to share that with you if you're interested. Also, if you are not on my mailing list, I have a website, and I have a mailing list that I do have for Evergreen Moms. And so if you're not on that, I invite you to be there, to join. And I'm not going to spam your inbox, but what I like to do is I try to write something new every month about your walk with God, about your marriage, about parenting, or about homemaking. And so those things, I am working. I feel like the Lord is moving me towards writing and speaking. And so you guys get to be my guinea pigs. I mean, I know that I don't have that motivation to write just because. I mean, I have just too many other things to do. Moms just don't do that. But, for me to know there are people who want to read this, then I will write it. But otherwise, there is no motivation. So I feel like this has been great. So I really appreciate this has been one of those forums for me to, I've had this class floating around in my mind for a long time. And so actually making myself do it, and it's been a stretch. There's so many things I had to leave out. We didn't talk about a lot of other issues like money, in-laws. I mean, there was a lot of things I couldn't squeeze in, but at least I got some things out, and I just really want to say thank you for listening and responding and just giving me your feedback. That's really been very, very helpful. And so I even though this is our last class, I invite you to continue. Let's just keep talking about these things. I think we need to encourage one another and keep these things in our forefront of our minds. So, so thank you, and I hope that it's been a blessing to you. It's been a blessing to me. So, anyways, yesterday the theme of the conference was about I think leaving a heritage to your children, and so. As I shared in my seminar yesterday, this requires foresight and vision. So that's something we had talked about, having a sense of where you're going, as well as just diligence and planning. I mean, you can dream all you like, but unless you actually take steps today to work towards that reality, it's all just going to be a dream. It's not going to happen. And so that was what we were sharing about. And, in this day and age, we need to just almost have this determination to make space for our marriage, for our family, for parenting, because if we don't, life is going to overtake you. It's just going to mow you over, because trust me, I've been there. I know what that's like. So if you haven't noticed, I'm a big believer in planning. I love to make plans. For me, the challenge is letting the Lord be the one who makes my plans. He says in Ephesians 2:10, he has good work for me to do, and he has a hope and a future for me in Jeremiah 29:11. And he has these planned from my mother's womb, you know, from Psalm 139, 16. And so if that is true, it makes sense then to let him number my days. And Psalm 90, 12 says that, you know. So what we did last week, I know most of you were here last week to have some time with the Lord, and I really hope, I really wanted to hear what, you know, what happened, what did the Lord share with you? Because, you know, when we have a chance to debrief and talk about that, you know, we really encourage one another, but I really wanted to, we had a short time, so I didn't want to take up all the time from you. So, but so that's something I do every month. I mean, I set aside a time every month to do something like that. And not just for my marriage, but for my kids, for myself. And I just pull away for a few hours and just let the Lord show me, okay, what's important? What do I need to do this month? What are needs that I'm not seeing? You know, what do you want me to do? And so for me, just what we did last week is something, a little taste of what I try to do regularly. And the Lord has really blessed me. And, you know, otherwise, I think I just rely on my own ingenuity, which doesn't get very far. You know what I mean? And it doesn't work. You know, and I want to encourage you because, you know, a lot of people say, well, I don't know. I don't know if I can, you know, hear God or whatever. You know, you don't need a seminary degree. You know, you don't need to be a pastor's wife. And I think anyone can hear from the Lord. I don't think he picks and chooses who's worthy and who's not. I mean, I think it's available to all who seek him. And so, like I had shared in the beginning of the, I mean, I don't know if you guys remember my favorite pitcher, cup, saucer, plate. You know, so the pitcher is God. The cup is us. The saucer is people. So in this case, our husbands. And the plate is all the things that we do. So it'd be like date night, you know, retreats with our husband. I mean, I'm talking specifically with marriage. You know, one-on-one time every day, you know, all the things that we do with our husbands. Okay, and so, you know, so I think that oftentimes we kind of just jump to, well, what do I need to do? You know, and you know, oftentimes I think, well, I am going to be nice to my husband today. And I am going to be nice to him no matter what, you know. And we try to do it on our own strength. You know, we think that this is something I'm going to do myself. But, you know, that is not something that God has intended for us to do on our own. If what he has designed for us is that we will trust him, and that he will pour into us all that he is, so that then we can overflow it to our husbands. Because like I was sharing with the small group I was in, I just don't have it in myself. You know, I don't know, I can't love like God. You know, I can't do it. It's not in me, naturally. And so I need him to help me do that. And so that is something that I encourage you to invest in. If you, I mean, that's where your relationship with God and your relationship with your husband intersect and how they impact each other. And so oftentimes I think I try to do it too much on my own, and I can't. I just can't. So it's hard work. And sometimes you think, this is not fair. You know, God, you know, he's wrong. I know he's wrong. It's not fair. What do you mean you want me to submit to him? And you know, or sometimes we think, I can do a better job than him. You know, look, he's not doing his job, you know. And I see smiles on your faces, so I know you know what I'm saying, right? And yet, I think that as we talked about this semester, we have, as women, a very special role. You know, our job is to influence our husbands, like Esther. You know, we shared about Esther. And he calls us to use that influence to draw our husbands into that leadership, into that that place that God has set for him as the leader of our homes. You know, you think about it, to inspire a leader is a very powerful position. And you think about it, it's not a doormat position. I mean, to be able to draw that out of a man is very powerful. And so I hope that If you hear what I'm saying, you know, we submit, yes, but we use that to bring out the best in him. And so, you know, this is just going to take time. takes commitment. We talked about commitment this semester because relationships just always take time. I mean, I think for me, when it comes between choosing my to-do list and relationships, I think it's always harder to choose to spend time with people because I don't feel like I get anything done when I'm just sitting and talking. You know, I don't know about you. I don't feel like, well, they're not getting anything done. It's not productive, you know. But, you know, when I really think about it in eternity, when I am in when this world is gone, the only thing that really lasts are people. You know, and so my husband will last for eternity. So when I invest in my husband, I am investing in something that's going to last forever. You know, and you know, maybe, you know, cleaning and dusting, they're always going to keep coming back. You know, they're always going to be things that will be recurring and they will never get done. And then in the end, who really cares if your house was spotless, right? Or who really cares about the things that oftentimes we think about? You know, they're important, but they're not like, if you put it in eternity, it's like, well, it doesn't really matter anymore. And so, you know, I think that's even true of ministry. I almost feels it's like sacrilegious, you know, in a church to say that relationships are more important than ministry. You know, and, you know, I think as great as programs and things are that we do, you know, even this class, you know, I think as great as it is, it's just a forum. You know, the things that we do is just it's a place to build relationship. You know, that's why I had those communication cards. I think for me, it wasn't so much it was my chance to air out my thoughts. I mean, it's about, well, what is God teaching you? You know, your heart, your life, your marriage is what mattered to me. And that's what I wanted to know with those cards. You know, it wasn't that, you know, I'm just trying to be nosy or, you know, whatever. But I want this to be something that grows you and matures you and helps you to become more like Jesus and to love him more. And so I think that relationship above all things, you know, we often get it reversed. You know, we love our programs and we use people. But God wants us to love people and use the programs to show that love. And so, you know, I encourage you, invest time in your marriage. You know, as women, God has given us relational gifts. You know, in some form or fashion, we all have some relational gifts. And, you know, as a woman, I can help create that safe place for my husband to share his heart. Because most guys, they probably don't. They're not used to that kind of stuff. And we talked about men's and women's differences and all that stuff. But, you know, as a wife, we have the privilege of being able to hear those things that no one else should be hearing. You know, hopefully there's no other woman listening to him like that. You know, but that we have the opportunity and privilege to do that. So it's all an act of faith, you know, because you don't know, oh, do I really have time to sit down, listen to him talk about his day? You know, sometimes I don't really, but it's an act of faith to say, okay, I'm going to trust that God's going to take care of these things. Right now he needs me, and I'm going to put that aside so I can listen. And, you know, I'm going to trust that, you know, I had asked, you know, what are the things that we can do so that our children can see what we want them to see in a marriage, you know. And I have to remember that when I do that, there are eyes watching me, you know, there are people watching me do this. You know, and I can tell them all I like, you know, your marriage is your priority. You take care of your husband or whatever. But I think our actions speak louder than words. And so when we act in faith to invest in our marriages, I think our children are blessed. Our husbands are blessed. They have an example. And we become a testimony, you know, of what a godly marriage is. So, I mean, I think I was saying it's the small choices that define your marriage. It's not the big ones. You know, how do we handle the little foxes? You know, those irritations. Oh, I left his socks on the floor again. You know, how do you handle that? You know, how do you, you know, do you hold your tongue? Should I say that or not? You know, choosing to speak a word of blessing and encouragement when he doesn't deserve this, but greeting him at the door. I just, one of those things I'm still working on. You know, when he comes home, oh, it's so hard to tear myself away. know, these, I think, small choices that we practice, God gives us these opportunities over and over and over. And I think that's his way of turning our hearts towards our husbands. You know, and I think as he does that, we can begin to see them. He's my comrade. He's my friend. He's not my enemy. You know, he's not the one I'm trying to argue with. And so these things, I think, as we do them faithfully, then the hard things that come, you know, submitting when I'm sure I'm right, you know, I know I'm right, but, you know, that's a hard thing to do. You know, dealing with conflict in a godly and in constructive way, sacrificing my plan and my schedule so that I can meet his physical needs, or learning to work in interdependence with him instead of independence. You know, those things, as we practice those little things, I think God works in our hearts. And so the big things, when they come, we're more equipped to do them. So, you know, when I think when we do these things, it's day in, day out, the little choices that we make. And I'm going to trust that one day when I look back, you know, and that day is going to come, you know, we can know we have finished well, you know, finished well. So we leave a legacy of faith to our children. You know, obviously I'm not there yet. You know, I'm still in the trenches alongside with you, but I know I'm working towards it. And but I wanted to share with you an excerpt of a life that has managed to achieve that legacy. And this is from, it's kind of cool when you actually know the author. This is from Heidi St. John's book, Romance, Nurturing Your Marriage Through the Homeschool Years. And it is talking about homeschool, but this is very particular to, it's just in general. I think it's a very, very appropriate illustration for any marriage. And so Heidi and I knew each other when Dan and I lived in Portland, and that's where Dan is from. And her oldest daughter, Savannah, was in my three-year-old preschool class. And so that's how I got to know her. And this was before either one of us considered homeschooling. And so I remember just talking to Heidi and she mentioned to me, you know, it's not like we talked in length, but, you know, the impact of her grandparents in her life. And at that time, they were still living, and how much they sacrificed to make it possible for Savannah to come to preschool. And I thought, wow, that's really cool. You know, grandparents have, you know, or great-grandparents in this case, having such a great impact on, you know, their grandchildren. She went, oh, not just me, or not just her, but me and my six siblings as well. We have gone through Christian school, you know, all our lives. And, you know, they've paid for seven kids to go through Christian school, and now it's the next generation, you know. And so I was like, wow, that's incredible, you know. So, you know, he's like, wow, these are great people. And so I never met them. I don't know them, but I knew they existed in her life. And just the fact that I knew them, that they were there, impacted me. You know, I don't even know who they are. And so I visited Heidi about a little over a year ago, and she gave me her book to read. And I felt like, wow, I got to know them a little bit better. And so I'm going to share their story. And, you know, I don't know. I hope it impacts you too. You know, it's something that I was really blessed. I was crying when I read this, and I was really blessed. And so it's a little lengthy, so I hope you bear with me. But you can close your eyes, imagine these people, and I hope that you'll get to know them too. So she writes this: of all things I remember about Grandpa, one thing stands out more than any other thing. He knew how to love his wife. Grandpa was a tall, strong man with an infectious laugh and an eye for beauty. I know this because he was always telling us how beautiful Grandma was when he first saw her in the Five and Dime store in Fairbury, Nebraska. To Grandpa, Grandma remained the beautiful store clerk who could beat him at tennis and make him laugh until he cried until the very last day of his life. Their love affair lasted nearly 75 years. In May of 2006, we sat around Grandpa one last time. Grandma had been brought over from the assisted living home where they had spent the last 5 years of their lives. For days, we stood vigil over Grandpa, each grandchild taking a shift throughout the night and day. Someone was with Grandpa and another with Grandma, making sure she was updated on his condition. We sang over Grandpa, recalling his favorite hymns and reading beloved passages of scripture to him. Every once in a while, he would open his eyes and smile at us. Through my tears, I remembered countless hours that he had stood by my bedside as a child, covered in chicken pox, and later as a new mother, calming my fears and reminding me of all God had in store. It was a time of remembering, and we gave thanks for his life as we asked the Lord to have his will. Death, as it turns out, is a lot like birth. When a child is being born, it is usually not up to the mother or even to the doctor or midwife to determine the exact moment of birth. Sure, there are signs. In labor, we wait for signs of the transition phase to begin, knowing that it means a more painful yet hopeful phase is beginning. The time is drawing close. Watching my precious grandfather transition from this world to heaven was a lot like waiting for a baby to be born. We saw signs, but he seemed to linger, as if he were waiting for a particular moment. And in his final hours, we learned one last lesson from our grandparents. We learned the importance of finishing well. Well, as it turned out, Grandpa was waiting for a particular moment, and that moment came when Grandma visited him for the last time. I'll never forget the love in her eyes. Trying to imagine her without him seemed impossible, and yet she had come to tell him it was okay to go home. She had come to give him strength and to remind him of what he already knew. God had prepared a place for him. We lowered the side rails on Grandpa's bed and wheeled Grandma as close as we could to her husband. Then we stood back with wonder and watched her make one final concession. Grandma was letting her husband know it was okay to go home. Her tears dropped quietly onto Grandpa's face. He opened his eyes and puckered his lips. "You're here," he said. "You didn't think I wouldn't be, did you?" Grandma quipped. And then she spoke to him as if there was no one else in the world, let alone in the room. "Daddy," she said, "I love you. You've been the best husband I could have ever asked for. You have taken good care of me and our family. You are as handsome now as the day I met you, and I know I will see you again soon. It's okay to go. It's okay. I'll see you soon. I know you'll be looking for me. I know it won't be long." Grandpa, who had not been able to be hydrated for several days, looked at Grandma. A single tear fell from his eyes. "I love you too," he said. "See you soon." Because of my grandmother's great love for her husband, she made the decision to prefer him one last time. Shortly after her visit, Grandpa went home to be with the Lord he loved. Grandma's example set the bar for all of us, even in those final moments. As I write this, tears fall from my eyes too, because I remember Grandma's own transition to heaven just 2 years later. She was ready to go, and she left this world with Grandpa's picture near her bed and the assurance of salvation in her heart. She knew she would see Grandpa again. Like Grandpa, Grandma at age 93 had finished well. I want to be that girl. You know, and so, I don't know about you, but I was just crying. And I was thinking, wow, what would... In those final moments, what are we going to be like? You know, what am I going to be like? Am I going to look at my beloved, or am I going to be looking at a stranger? You know, and I think, I don't know about you, but even though I can't even imagine now parting from my husband. But I want to know that when that time comes, you know, that we are parting on good terms, and that being in the place where God has always wanted us to be. You know, when she writes in there also, "When the story of your family is finally written, what will the record show? You know, will it show a life full of material blessings and busyness, you know, but yet empty of faith and love? Or will it show a life that is rich in the graces of God, even if it means life is simple, maybe even backwards, you know, like you're not, you know, keeping up with everyone else?" And I don't know about you, but little by little, I'm beginning to see the value of the latter. You know, I have had to decide what is more important, you know, and I think that if I had to choose, I'd rather give up a lot of things than have my loved ones. So, As we wrap up the semester, I want to pray for you, to pray the Lord's blessing on you and on your marriage. And let's come before the Lord. Heavenly Father, by your great grace, you have saved us, you have sanctified us, and you have made us your own. We are your bride awaiting your coming. And I pray that the vision and reality of this truth will drive us to seek to picture that reality in our own earthly marriages today. I pray that these women here will continue to seek you to equip them, prepare them, and use them to be a blessing not only in their own families, but in generations yet to come. I pray that you will guide my dear sisters in how to pattern and live their ordinary days in such a way that they reap eternal fruit in heaven. I pray you bless each marriage represented in this room with all the benefits and riches that only you can give. Lord, use us to rise up and take a stand against the powers and authorities in this world that seek to suppress us, so that we can shine like stars, not for our glory, but for yours. I pray that you will continue to supply us with that day-to-day strength that we need to do this most awesome work in our homes. Thank you. Thank you for this privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. So may you go out and love and bless and serve your husbands. And I'm trusting that the Lord will do some neat work in the, and just imagine what he can do through us. Okay, so God bless you, and thank you for being here. I appreciate it. Thanks.